It was 28-0. Tate's Creek came right out of the gates and took it to Henry Clay. Held Henry Clay to just 149 yards. Total. Not rushing.
Yeah.
Total.
149 rushing wouldn't have been that bad, maybe.
68 rushing. That was it. And the Commodores beat Henry Clay 44-0 last year. So this year it's 48-0. Put one on the board for Tate's Creek and Antoine Sims to start the season. And, you know, Tate's Creek has some good-looking pieces. Cameron Workman at quarterback. That LaRon Warner, the running back, he ran for 3 touchdowns.
Do you plug our boy Miles Thomas?
Miles Thomas?
Lamar Thomas, the coach over at Kentucky.
Oh, I didn't realize that
he's a sophomore. Impact? Well, he had the last play of the game as a touchdown. Lamar tweeted out, said, hey, I also, like 31 years ago, scored as a sophomore my first varsity action in the last play of my sophomore season. Touchdown. Now my son does it, 30 years. So it's pretty neat for him.
Spooky.
And, it was neat. Last play of the game, he chucked it up there. Doobie, 4 or 5, 2 touchdowns, one of them to Miles Thomas.
So when Lamar Thomas was a sophomore in high school, his first varsity action.
Last play of the game, touchdown.
Was the last play of the game, touchdown. And here we are all these years later, and Miles Thomas.
Yeah.
Same thing.
Dad was clapping.
Yeah.
Over in the corner. He's pretty jacked about it.
I bet. No doubt. Well, and then the game that followed that, it was the Adidas kickoff bowl or something over at Tate's Creek. And the game that followed, Bryan Station and Lafayette. I thought that would be a one-score game. And it was for a long time. 7-0 forever. And then third quarter, I believe, Lafayette put up another score, 14-0. And then the fourth quarter, Lafayette scored 2 more times, 28-0, the final score over Bryan Station. We will have Bryan Station head coach Frank Parks on this show in about an hour at 11 o'clock. At the bottom of the hour, Josh Moore from the Lexington Herald Leader joins us. You went out, Alex, of course, with ABC 36. You had your season debut of the high school highlight reel.
We did.
How did it go?
It went well.
Went well.
Successful trips to shoot football and then come back and edit them and then put them on television. 11 games, which was not bad. You know how those first times go. And
yeah,
the hope was for 13, and a couple little hiccups happen and new folks and that kind of thing. So
I was concerned because the first night, there's always first night jitters, first night hiccups, as you say. Things just that games go wrong.
The bowl games are great in one aspect because you can double dip, right? There's an early kick and a late kick, but that late kick, I mean, even with a running clock, for Henry Clay Tate's Creek, that Lafayette Station game doesn't start till almost 9 o'clock.
Yeah.
And it's like, man, come on.
I know. That is the one drawback for us in television.
Yeah. Not getting the score on. There's a minute left in the Station Lafayette game and we had it on. And so for us, it was like, there's a minute and something left. It's 20-0, so it's all but done. But you can't say it's done, Right. And so then you got to do the score later. It's just the whole thing.
At least it wasn't like last year. Last year's opening night, thunderstorms, games were being postponed. And, the heat wasn't that bad. So overall, a good opening night across Kentucky. I got back probably 30 minutes later than I normally like to get back. And it's opening night, and I'm going, oh, boy, we're not making it. It's going to be tight.
Because now you're earlier. You've been earlier for a few seasons.
I think this is year 5, believe it or not. But, 10:40. Normally, 11:15 is the deadline. When you move that deadline back to 10:40, it gets crazy.
I can tell you we needed 11:15 last night, but we got it.
Yeah.
So I don't know how you did it at 10:40.
Well, it was paging so-and-so to sports. Where's this? Where's that? So I didn't even have time. Normally, what you would do as a sportscaster, you check the rundown of the games you have, and you look at the scoreboards to see if the score has been entered in, so that when you read the highlights, you don't come up on the score, and there's no score in there. I didn't have time to look at any of the scores. And luckily, each person who was responsible for their games and their scripts and their scores was responsible for their games, their scripts, and their scores. It all came together. Where did you go last night? Where did you
I was in town. I did the Adidas kickoff classic over Tate's Creek and shot two football games where only one team scored.
Right. You got a few touchdowns from Tate's Creek and then
did.
Then you went and got
dinner. I got the 28-0, 35-0, and then 48-0.
Yeah.
At Tate's Creek were the nice ones that looked good. And then I only got the one touchdown from Lafayette to start things off from Cameron Morgan punching it in. And then a pick from Kendrick Curry, Brian Station, who looks very good.
Kendrick Curry, we're going to have Josh Moore on from the Lexington Herald Leader here shortly, but he tweeted out last week during a scrimmage against Lexington Catholic that play of Kendrick Curry tiptoeing down the sideline. He is a talent.
Yeah. Yeah, obviously, he just looks a little raw, you know, every so often defensively because, he had the pick, but you could tell sometimes he's, you know, clearly just insanely athletic, and that can make up for some of the things when he makes mistakes. But, man, unbelievable talent.
By the way, Lee K. Howard just texted me and said, incorrect, I entered all the scores. So thank you, Lee K., to making sure our scoreboards had scores in them, yeah.
Lee K. was with me over at Tate's Creek.
Oh,
yeah. He popped down to East Jess, too. But.
Yeah, he took off to East Jess while you stood around and shot the breeze with Angelo.
Well, I asked him. I said, did he shoot West Jess? He said no.
Well, no. Uh-uh.
But I thought he went to East Jess first.
Oh, no.
And so then I was just confused. I was like, why did you go back? That doesn't make any sense. So miscommunication.
Poor West Jess. They lost to Lloyd Memorial last night in the,
VisitNick.com.
Yeah, and not just poor West Jess. I meant poor Jessamine County because both the VisitNick.com Bowl features East Jessamine and West Jessamine, and both the home schools lost.
No, East Jess won.
Oh, did East Jess win?
They beat Walton Verona.
Oh, I thought Walton Verona won that game.
No, I don't think so. 40-26, right? East Jess? Am I crazy? Dan's going to let me
know. Walton Verona won 43-20.
They won 43-20.
Yeah. Who was doing your scores last night?
Looks like we have something to talk about, Brian Kennedy. The new guy. Not good.
I went to Frankfort and Franklin County's those two games. So Frankfort opened up with Thomas Nelson, the Generals.
Okay.
Which I didn't even realize until this year that Thomas Nelson had a
football program.
Football program, yeah. I mean, I know the college, but I did not know that there was a high school that had a football program. So Thomas Nelson and Frankfort. Let me tell you something. Frankfort's got some potential there. There's some talent there. Some good-looking players. While I was there, most of the first half was scoreless, and that was because of turnovers. Frankfort would get down close and fumble it away. That one thing Frankfort's got to fix is the turnovers. But talented otherwise. And DeJuan Davis is this kid that just dominated. Not a very big kid, but he came in, plays on defense, defensive back. Thomas Nelson's trying to run outside. He comes up on a guard that's pulling. And the guard's twice the size of this kid. And he sheds that blocker and takes out the running back, who's also about twice his size, for a loss. Then he turns around on offense, and they hand it off to him on a little lead, you know, off-guard play, 57 yards. A couple plays later, 18-yard touchdown toss. I mean, it was the DeJuan Davis show for the first half. But it was 7-0 with about 3 minutes to go in the first half. So I leave to head to Franklin County. Well, Frankfort winds up winning that game 35-20. So everything happened after halftime, yeah. Well, then I get to Franklin County, and I do this. I don't know if you do this, but I try to find the game that I'm going to on the radio.
Yeah.
Game I'm going to or coming from. Because when you're in those local areas, you can pick it up. You get too far outside the county, you can't pick it up. So I'm in there trying to hear Franklin County, Western Hills. And this happens all the time. I hear Franklin County's driving with the ball, and I'm driving to get there. So you're like racing to get in there to get the highlight. And the worst thing is you pull up and it's, and you hear on the radio,
great.
That's a touchdown. just missed it. So it's always you're racing to get. get to the game. So I, sure enough, I'm listening to the game. Franklin County's driving. I'm driving. I am in the parking lot. I have just pulled into the space. And the announcer says, oh, nice play. And Franklin County walks in for the touchdown. Minute 19 left in the half. I didn't even get out. I turned right around and went and got gas. Because I knew halftime was coming. Came back. And let me tell you something. Franklin County and Western Hills game at Benny Watkins Field, place was jammed.
It should be.
It should be. It was. It was a great atmosphere. I want to say 10,000 is probably a little generous, but I mean, there had to be five. There was definitely 5,000 people.
The track was full. More.
Yeah. I'm telling, not only the track was full, but the end zone closest to the school was 20 rows deep of people between the concession stand and the end of the end zone, the goalpost. It was elbow to knees, jammed full of people. And then the stands were completely full. And then the other end zone, Western Hills, there were bleachers in there for Western Hills, and they had it packed. And the track was packed. I mean, place was just...
Maybe great. There's when Western Hills, you know, reigning city champ from 2016.
Yes.
All of a sudden, you know, maybe there's a little bit of, okay, you know, the little guy in town has risen to a new stage, and then Eddie James and the Flyers, first year for him at the top, so a little excitement maybe, and, you know, your first game out of the gates going against the reigning city champ, so maybe some extra fuel on that one out of the gate.
Well, Franklin County scored just before halftime to make it 18 to 14. 18-14, and that was Franklin County's first lead. When I got there, I was told that Western Hills had kind of dominated the first half but didn't have the points to show for it. And second half, third quarter, Franklin County gets backed up huge. They're way backed up. And their quarterback, I believe his name is Jesse Thurman for Franklin County, he just heaves one. I mean, it goes 40 yards in the air. If not more. I mean, this thing was, we're talking from his own 5-yard line or something. It had to be 40, 50 yards in the air. And this kid, Cameron Phelps, just makes one of those David Tyree type catches where he's up, pins it against his helmet, he's falling backwards, and he holds on. Huge play. But Franklin County can't convert, turns it over on downs. So then Western Hills comes out, and it's Wandale Robinson, who, by the way, if you've not heard, you need to know, has offers from both UK and Louisville, plus Purdue, plus Virginia.
They're starting to trickle in even more and more. Obviously, once the first domino falls, you start getting more. Do you want, hey, who's this kid? What's going on?
And when you see him in person, you're going to say, what? Not that kid. You sure? Because he's 5'5"?
On a good day.
5'6"? Not a very big kid, but he is crafty.
And he takes every single snap.
So he's out of the Wildcat.
The boys wore out.
He takes the snap. He goes like 8 yards. Very next snap, he goes 58 yards for a touchdown. And then he just made it look so easy. And I had written the lead-in to our game for TV for this game, saying, you know, comparing him to Ryan Timmons. Because it was just a few years ago, Franklin County had a kid who Ohio State and Louisville and Kentucky and everybody in Florida wanted. And it was Ryan Timmons, except he played for Franklin County. Guess who was at the game last night? Ryan Timmons. To see Wandale Robinson, maybe. But that kid is only a junior. So we got this season and next season to enjoy him.
27 rushes, 198 yards. Two scores.
198 yards?
Yeah.
Nice. Very nice.
Pretty good.
Hey, we're going to continue to talk a ton of football. If I were going to talk basketball, I'm not even sure what I would talk about. What, you got any basketball topics in mind?
No.
Yeah.
Even if I did, I wouldn't want to talk about that.
Yeah, it's going to be all football. And here in about 10 minutes, Josh Moore from the Lexington Herald Leader. And then at the top of the hour, Frank Parks, Bryan Station's head football coach, will join us here on the Dan and Mary Joe Show, 381-1313, if you want to get in here on ESPN Sports Radio, 1300.
The Dan and Mary Joe Show continues after this on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
As a mom, I'm always looking for affordable family fun. recommend the Lexington Legends. They play tonight at 6:35. Get your tickets now by phone at 859-422-RUNS or online at lexingtonlegends.com.
Ride rough, ride tough.
The Arctic Cat factory authorized clearance events is going on now at MLS Power Sports, and it's bigger than ever with rebates up to $3,500 and financing as low as 3.9% on brand new Arctic Cat ATVs and side-by-sides. You can stop thinking and start riding. Don't miss out on your next ride and hurry into MLS Power Sports, 1030 Paris Pike in Georgetown. Offer valid participating dealers while supplies last and subject to change. Inventory may vary by dealer. Not all applicants will qualify. See dealer for details and program dates. Always wear a helmet and don't drink and ride.
Ride! Ride rough, ride tough, MLS Power Sports, got the ride you're looking for.
But most of all, ride victoriously.
Our military service members volunteer to protect us in the most dangerous places around the world. They step up. And when they are severely ill or injured, returning to their families is only the beginning of their long road home. Beyond all the hospitals and doctors and surgeries they need just to survive, they also deserve whatever they need to truly live. All the in-home care and day-to-day help they need to live independently, on their own terms. Wounded Warrior Project long-term support programs were established to provide these brave men and women whatever they need to continue their fight for independence at no cost for life. So many of them need us, and it's time for a grateful nation to step up. Find out how you can do your part at findwwp.org.
Whether it's a natural disaster devastating thousands or a home fire affecting a family, the American Red Cross is there. I'm Jennifer Adrio, CEO of the Kentucky Region Red Cross. Help us as we celebrate 100 years in Kentucky. Contact your local Red Cross today.
The Dan and Mary Jo Show, local and live. Call 381-1313 to be a part of the show or tweet them at DReefer or at MJP18. Now back to Dan and Mary Jo on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Mary Jo is out this weekend. Expect her back next weekend. But Alex Risen from ABC 36 is sitting in here on the Dan and Mary Jo Show, 381-1313. If you want to get in here talking high school football at the moment. But we'll talk some more high school football with Josh Moore from the Lexington Herald Leader here in about 10 minutes. UK football will have its second scrimmage of fall camp today. And then we should hear from the players around and the coaches 1:30, 2 o'clock-ish, something like that. Get a little update on how it went. Eddie Grant said this week that this scrimmage is very important for those young wide receivers. If they want to earn some playing time, get into the rotation, because you got to think they're going to play no more than seven on the regular. You've got your three starters. How much will you go to four wideouts because of the run game? Probably not a lot. So you're going to start three guys, run three more, four more in there max. And we're talking about Josh Ali is a true freshman. Isaiah Epps is a true freshman. Cleavan Thomas is a gray shirt, I guess you'd call him, because he came in the spring. So he's got a little jump on those guys. Cleavan, out of that group, is the leader with the most likely chance to play. Lynn Bowden is another true freshman. Mm-hmm. So there's four right there. You know Dorian Baker's playing. You know Garrett Juice Johnson's playing. You know Charles Walker's playing. You know
Bone is Blake Bone. Is in the mix, yeah.
I was going to go Kaywon Ross.
And he's done some good stuff so far. So
those four, to me, are one through four. Bone would be your fifth guy. And then Bowden's going to get on the field.
Yeah, he's got to get minutes. You can't have all the hype and not.
There's your sixth guy. Cleavan Thomas is your seventh. I think Ali and Isaiah Epps Unless they push.
Are they stealing minutes from, are they stealing plays and reps from Taven Richardson?
Oh, I forgot about Taven Richardson. I haven't heard anything about him this camp. Have you heard anything about him this camp?
I think Grant mentioned him one time and said, like, yeah, that's the thing that we get, though. I mean, most of the time, it's, yeah, he's doing some good stuff.
Yeah. I mean, they've been all about Ollie Epps, Cleavan Thomas.
And the only reason I remember Richardson was because he talked yesterday. You know, it was like a select group of players, and he was one of the guys. And usually you don't put out one of the guys.
Right, unless he's.
Unless he's doing something.
Right. Well, Taven Richardson has that body, has that prototype NFL receiver body. Big kid.
A lot of big kids. On the team. I know. You think Baker, Bone, and Ross? Huge.
Yeah. Ross is.
Ross looks like a defensive end.
He is a big dude.
Every time I talk to him, it's great. I mean, he just.
Like if Za'Darius Smith played wide receiver.
It really is.
He's going to be a weapon. Ross is going to be a weapon in the red zone.
And Baker. I mean, Baker is, again, more toned up. You know, clearly looks older, physically healthy now.
So this scrimmage today, we'll find out a little bit. We'll find out whatever they decide to tell us is what we'll find out. But it's a lot of depth there at the receiver position, which is good. Earlier in the week, some of the great stuff that was said. Denzel Ware, the outside linebacker, is talking about trash talking. He's asked about if he trash talks in practice. And he's like, yeah, I trash talk. Of course I do. I'm going to say what I'm going to say. We're trash talking the game. I like to trash talk. I'm trash talking in practice. And so the question's asked, well, who gives it back? You know, who's coming back at you on the other side? He's like, well, the whole O-line, you know, talks a lot. But it's Logan Stenberg. What are Logan's dimensions, by the way?
I don't know off the top of my head.
I have to look it up. I'll look it up. Logan has got to be 6'6".
He's a big dude.
3-something. Big.
He's big, no Big Jack from a few years ago. Remember Big Jack?
Yeah.
Was he 6'10", 6'11"?
Hey, this is a good radio station because we have a media guide here.
These things would help.
Yes.
As we could also look up the stats on the web.
Angelo's looking it up. But Logan Stenberg is who Ware says that's the guy on the offensive line. That's their enforcer. He handles all the trash talk. Big Logan Stenberg is 6'6", 318 pounds. According to the media guide, sophomore out of Madison, Alabama. And so then, and then Denzel Ware says, yeah, you got to be careful though. Yeah. I mean, or somebody asked him, you know, do you kind of laugh when you hear Logan Stenberg? He goes, well, kind of, I mean, I kind of laugh at his trash talk cause it's a big old dude with a ponytail, but you got to be careful with that guy. Because it's like a big train. Like, he means business. And then Denzel says, if you're not careful what you say to him, you know, he could end your life. Which that was great. And so then, yesterday, Courtney Love and Logan Stenberg are both interviewed. And Courtney Love says, I actually got into a little scuffle with Stenberg a few days ago in practice. Because he does not back down. He's coming. He said he's out here trying to eat too. He said he is a nasty, nasty dude, and he won't stop. He said even if you maybe got blocked by him and then you got away, you better keep your head on a swivel because he's still coming. If you lose contact with him, look out. He said you always got to be aware of number 71. He's just a sophomore, and that's such good news for the offensive line, which had a huge loss this week with Cole Mosier being out for the season now. Heartbreaking, of course, for this. I mean, you're a five-year player. You're going into your senior year. You walked on from Walton Verona, and now you're a starting left tackle in the SEC on scholarship senior year, and you can't even get to game one before it's all over.
And so much buzz. You know, he's one of the anchor, right? Like, he could be the dude. He's the leader of this thing. You know, Bunchy moves over to center and all this other stuff. Cole is like this constant, right?
Yeah.
He's going to be the guy.
He hasn't, season hasn't even started yet, and he's already got to be thinking about beyond, because this season is, it's over for him. It's done, and college is over for him.
Time to get healthy, make sure we shore it up.
Yeah.
Show good at pro day. You know, let everybody know I'm here and everything's fine.
Again, feel horrible for Cole, and then it's never good to lose any player for the team. But offensive line has a lot of depth, more so than it's ever had, that Mark Stoops has ever had at Kentucky. I don't know. I can't remember the last time the offensive line had this much depth, like even during the Rich Brooks era. I don't know this many big dudes capable. They've got a lot. I mean, Stenberg is just one example, but
yeah, the depth is the difference.
Yeah,
there were some dudes that could play up front during the Brooks era, but just not. You know what happened when a couple of those guys went down? Not a good situation.
There's a good story by the Courier-Journal's John Hale, a friend of the show, who will be on this show tomorrow. By the way, wrote an article on Tate Leavitt, because with Cole Mosier going out, questions were, well, what about Tate Leavitt? Well, why haven't we heard about Tate Leavitt? Tate Leavitt, of course, the JUCO transfer from, he's from Ohio, but he JUCO out in Kansas, and he comes in, and the idea, the thought is, the buzz is, he's competing for a starting left tackle position back last year, going into last season. So you had Cole Mosier, you had Landon Young, you had Tate Leavitt. And I guess Tate, as Tate describes it, his feet were maybe not as fast as he needs them to be to play left tackle. And so he says he's moved inside. And much, much more from John Hale on that. We'll get into that with John Hale tomorrow. But Tate Leavitt is now just, you know, playing inside more and trying to be one of those 10 guys who rotates in on the offensive line, because there is a ton of depth there. Next, we return to high school football talk with Josh Moore of the Lexington Herald Leader here on the Dan and Mary Jo Show on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
The Dan and Mary Jo Show continues after this on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
This is a Morgan & Morgan consumer message.
I worry that people who want us to stand up for them against bully insurance companies are afraid to ask for our help because they think they can't afford us. Let me put your mind at ease. Here's what no recovery, no fee means at our firm. First, your initial consultation is absolutely free. Next, we understand that most people don't have the money to pay hourly attorney's fees, and the insurance industry has unlimited monies. So you only pay us a percentage of your recovery when we win. Finally, there are expenses in working a case up, like accident reconstruction, investigators, court filing fees, and so on. We advance these costs as well. If we make no recovery, you don't owe these either. You need a firm with deep pockets to fight the insurance companies toe-to-toe. You will never owe us one penny unless we win. Visit forthepeople.com for more information. No charge there either. Morgan & Morgan, forthepeople.com. Offices, Lexington.
Earnings vary based on your effort.
Do you want to learn how to make money flipping houses right here in Lexington? If so, we have an amazing opportunity for you. We're looking for a small group of motivated individuals to join our real estate investing team. You'll learn our simple three-step system for flipping homes right here in the local area. This is Than Merrill, star of A&E's hit TV show Flip This House. My team and I are looking for a handful of people in the Lexington area who want to learn how to make money flipping houses in your spare time using other people's money. Lexington is a perfect market for my system, and next week I'm holding a free 2-hour educational workshop where you will learn how to make money flipping homes and how to build long-term wealth with income properties.
To get 2 free tickets to Than's workshop, call 1-800-969-3800. Seating is extremely limited. Call in the next 10 minutes and you'll also reserve a free copy of Than's Money for Deals guide. That's 1-800-969-3800. That's 1-800-969-3800.
The Shelby's Way Hot Rod Hullabaloo is coming up Saturday, September 2nd. It's absolutely free to participate, so we expect more than 600 classic hot rods and show vehicles at the event. We've blocked off Contract Street between Loudon and Floyd for music, food trucks, souvenirs, and vendors. We're even raffling off a teardrop camping trailer. It's all happening from 10 to 4 Saturday, September 2nd for the nonprofit Shelby's Way. bringing awareness to suicide prevention. For more info and registration, go to shelbysway.com.
The Dan and Mary Jo Show, local and live. Call 381-1313 to be a part of the show or tweet them at DReefer or at MJP18. Now back to Dan and Mary Jo on ESPN Sports Radio 1300. Taliban.
Yeah. Did he just say Taliban?
Maybe it was Tallyman.
Okay. I was going to say, I didn't realize.
Let's go with that.
Who is that? Who sings Jumpman? Drake.
Drake, yeah. That's right. Drake, yeah. Jumpman. Yeah. Them boys up to something.
You can listen to us on WLXG.com or get the app. The app's the easiest way. So convenient.
So convenient.
App Store, Google Play, go in there, type in WLXG, download that thing, and then anytime you want to listen to ESPN Sports Radio 1300, whether it's this show, any show, ESPN programming, whatever is on the air, it's streaming on that app. You just tap it, it opens. Magic. Let there be sound.
Yeah. It's 2017, folks.
Let there be Josh Moore from the Herald Leader on the telephone. And there is Josh Moore. We welcome him in now. Josh Moore from the Lexington Herald Leader and Kentucky.com. Opening night, high school football last night. And Josh was there to cover it all. From Paducah to Pikeville. Actually, just the central Kentucky area.
Actually, just to Tate's Creek. But, you know, anyway.
He does a fantastic job. Love the preseason coverage of high school football and then throughout the season. But the preseason stuff was really good this year. Josh Moore joins us now on the Dan and Mary Jo Show on ESPN Sports Radio 1300. Good morning, Josh.
Good morning, fellas.
So you went last night to the Adidas kickoff, is that right?
Yeah, I spent the whole day, well, not the whole day, but the whole evening at Chase Creek there. I feel like I've went from Paducah to Pikeville, though. I don't know. I got to get my legs back under me.
Don't lie to me. I saw you sleeping over there on the bench in between games.
No, the high school football coverage, you pumped out quite a bit, and it's really good. Really good stuff. Had the top 50 players. Of course, top 10 in each class, then looking at the quarterback position and how important it is in high school sports and in football, and then the look at the champions, and it's more likely than not that most champions are going to repeat in the six classes. Just a lot of really good stuff.
I appreciate that, man. I know, Alex there has done a lot, too. It's fun to get out and meet people and churn out all this stuff. I mean, because while you're in it, it just feels like you're never going to be out from underneath it.
Yeah.
And then when you get away, it's like you breathe and then you forget how to breathe for a second. It's like, well, now what?
Right. Yeah. No kidding.
So now what? It's the game. And the games were last night around the state. I'm still kind of catching up with what happened in some places around the state last night. I know here locally there weren't a lot of games because some of the teams are playing tonight. So
yeah,
we're going to see what happens. We should have a bigger picture of going into next week of where the city looks after tonight.
Now your top 10 that you put out, was that a coaches poll? The coaches voted on that, is that right?
Yes, yeah. Sir.
Yeah, for class all six classes. So 6A, looking at it, the coaches poll that was in Kentucky.com, Lexington Herald Leader, Trinity number one, St. X number two, Scott County number three, Mayo number four, PRP five, Simon Kenton six, Lafayette seven, Manuel eight, Ryle nine, 10 McCracken County. That's already been blown up. That's already been blown up. Ryle lost last night. Central beat Manuel.
Yeah, I saw that one.
7-0. Louisville Central did.
Now, the top two took care of business against the Indiana schools.
And Scott County took care of business against North Bullitt.
Yeah, that was 56-19 there.
Mayo PRP, I need to look that up real quick. But Lafayette took care of business last night. Josh, what impressed you about Lafayette last night?
I was incredibly impressed with their defense. Yeah. I thought, you know, for they were great the last 2 years, and I think if you were to, I wouldn't say their defense has been bad, but they've played games and been in a lot of games where they end up getting in shootouts. Now, the way their offense went yesterday, I don't think will be how their offense is the rest of the season, but I don't know if they're a team that necessarily wants to get into some shootouts this year.
Yeah.
But they might. I don't know if they're going to get into a lot of them because the defense looks – I mean, I was incredibly impressed with how just focused they were on that side of the ball. They were, I mean, getting after it. They didn't – Station didn't get across midfield, but, you know, four times on 14 possessions. I mean, it was very, very impressive. And they're playing, you know, more snaps, it seemed like, than they would last year too. So I was pretty impressed seeing them – shut out a city team. I know Station's lost some stuff, especially to the new school. But
you got to see them last week against Lexington Catholic, and Jalen Burbidge threw 5 touchdowns in a scrimmage in 3 quarters of action.
And a scrimmage is, you know, whatever you want to make of a scrimmage, but I thought they looked pretty stout offensively. And they've got some football players. They've got 2 guys that, you know, I think Chris Jones and Kendrick Curry are 2 of the best skill guys, period, in the city.
Yeah.
And Chris was dealing with some cramps towards the end of the game, but still, I mean, both those guys are playing both ways, doing a lot of stuff on both ends. But, I mean, again, I was pretty impressed with how good Lafayette's defense looked, and, you know, I can't wait till next Friday night.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about there, Josh. Well, you're talking about Scott County Lafayette, the saga continues as Cal Oaks, I think, tweeted out up in Georgetown.
Well, that's become something else, hasn't it? Just these last few years, it's been, man, it's been good.
Yeah, it's pretty incredible how it, I mean, it, you know, everybody loves to play Scott County because everybody hates Scott County.
Right.
And I mean, they deserve respect, though. I mean,
they deserve the hate.
Amazing. Well, to me, hate is respect, right? Because if you take the energy to hate somebody, then there's some form of respect there. And in that case, Scott County might be the most respected team in Lexington because nobody watched them.
Well, but I mean, over the last 10 years, they've become the best team in Lexington, but they're in Scott County.
yeah.
That's kind of it. But, yeah, Lafayette has risen up to the challenge with a regular – I mean, last year's regular season game. Sorry, Josh. Alex just lost his drink there. The McDonald's went out.
Which is clearly important and crucial in the morning hours.
I hope it wasn't a Coke, because that stuff's the nectar of the...
It's a Coke. Yeah. My world has just crumbled before me.
But last year, these guys, remember the big scuttlebutt about the game that was postponed again and again due to storms, and then, you know, one side was like, we want to replay it. The other side is like, well, we gave you an opportunity, we can't, and they just moved on.
Like, what do you mean you're not going to finish the game?
Right. And so that kind of stuck in the craw of Lafayette, and they remembered it come playoff time.
Oh, they sure did. and that's why I was hesitant to you know, be critical of their defense last year, because, you know, the defense is what, you know, they stopped the 2-point conversion that would have put Scott County in the finals.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they rose to the challenge. and man, I do think there's still probably some, you know, bad feelings over that kerfuffle last year.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, of the lightning delay and everything. So I think it's going to end the games in Lafayette. Again, a double header. I believe Dunbar and Southwestern is the game that precedes that one. Should be, I think, a tremendous crowd. Scott County always brings a lot of fans. Lafayette had, I was really impressed with the amount of fans Lafayette had over at Tate's Creek last night.
Including Landon Young and Walker Wood and a couple of other folks stopping in,
They had, some guys from, you know, some other guys from UK out there. I mean, they were bringing some you know, some star power to the sidelines you don't usually see in high school football around here. So kind of fun. I mean, and they're going to – so I think that the big takeaway is Lafayette, at least here in the early going, isn't gone.
Yeah.
You know, I think some people might have hoped they were.
Yeah.
You know, and for somebody else to step into the driver's seat, but they're still the, you know, reigning city champs, still the team that's been to two straight finals. You know, someone's going to have to prove that they can knock them off before right. they get knocked off.
How much was it in the preseason? I mean, I'm sure, Eric Shaw, when you did the previews and stuff, I'm trying to remember which ones, you know, I did and which ones I read from you, and they kind of blur together. But, you know, he just, hey, we got to tap back into the roots. I'm a defensive guy. It's all about the defense. We've gotten, you know, we kind of got maybe a little lax to some degree. Not that we didn't understand that defense was important, but yeah, you know, the shootouts. We had Walker Wood. We had Quentin Brown, Lucky Jack. Like, all these guys have come through, and we kind of just forgot maybe sometimes. You got to play some defense, and that's what wins championships. And we remember that, obviously, with turnovers and, you know, the title games and getting kind of blown out. We understand defense is important. How much of that you think kind of really did tap back into let's do it, and clearly it showed?
Oh, I think a whole lot, because I think back to at the end of last year's finals, Coach Shaw said something to me like, you know, we're getting to this game, now we got to figure out how to win it. And that's the big challenge going forward, you know, implying that, A, he plans on being back in that game, and B, you know, they want to win the game. And I think the way you win that game, you have to be capable of being a dominant defensive team.
Yeah.
Especially when you're going to be lining up against a Trinity or a St. X. I mean, because most years that's what's going to be the case. Okay. You've got these teams that have, I mean, waves of talent. You're going to have to be a team that can meet that with focus and discipline on defense. And I think, you know, those are all the cliches you hear in the preseason and throughout the season, but, you know, that is how you win football games.
Well, the challenger, one of the new challengers, Frederick Douglass, is going to try to challenge the city and Scott County. They've got some talent. They've got some talent on that team. And tonight, it gets tested. The first game in the history of Frederick Douglass Broncos football is tonight at Danville in the Bob Allen Pigskin Classic. That's an 8:15 kickoff. Are you headed over there? Are you going to check that out?
Yeah, let's saddle up, boys. Going to Boyle County tonight to see the Broncos and the Admirals, the little guys versus the new big bad boys in Lexington. So, no, I'm excited. I think I want to see how, you know, it'll be interesting, right? Because I think if you didn't know Frederick Douglass was a new school, you would think they should go in and whoop up on Danville. But everybody knows Danville. They've got a program that's got a lot of history and tradition, and you know, this is a program that wants to make some tradition. So,
Danville has Demaryius Van Cleave.
Yeah, Danville also happens to have like three of the best position players in Central Kentucky, in my opinion. Mm. David Walker, Van Cleave, and Don Harris.
Yeah.
So, not a bad place to start as far as your test of your, you know, where your program is as you try to get it off the ground.
It does seem like it. You know, it is kind of a nice fit. Yeah, it's Danville. It's a smaller school. It's 2A, but the tradition, you know, the program and what Clay's done down there and kind of restoring the tradition maybe and getting them back on the map and a state championship, you know, appearance again last season. It isn't like Frederick Douglass is just, all right, we're going to go play that little guy and get a W to start this thing off the right way. I mean, you're going to have to earn this one, and you're going to see real quick, you know, a good barometer. You know, can they play with teams that are disciplined and have, you know, athletic kids and, you know, play good football?
Totally, yeah, and I think and I think they'll be able to. I think as I get closer to the game, I'm expecting Douglass to go in there and win. Just because I think the depth could be, you know, an advantage for them. But if they lose or if they win, I don't think either way you go, you shouldn't run wild away with, you know, what that means they are.
Yeah.
Because if they lose to a program that was in the state finals last year, even though they're three, four classes below you, I don't think you can say, oh, well, they suck. they're going to go 0-10 their first season. But if they would go in there and win too, I don't think it, you know. I mean, yeah, if they go in there and it's 70-0, okay, maybe this team is something. Maybe the hype is real.
That's not going to happen.
If that happens, I'll be at by y'all's sake.
Hey, Wednesday sounded like it was an interesting day at Frederick Douglass High School. I mean, I was out doing something. I was busy, and I get a text. Broncos. Stallions wasn't even on the ballot. And I'm like, what? We had just had Brian Landis on this radio show last weekend and asked him about it. And he said, I all but guarantee the support is there. We will be the Stallions. And then reading your coverage of it, it sounds like somewhere from up on high, the word came down the morning of the first day of school, the day they're supposed to vote on this, that said, Stallions is off the table, kids.
And Broncos is on. And that wasn't originally one of the options that was even given.
Yeah.
Yeah, we were caught off guard by Broncos as far as it being the name chosen. Because, yeah, it wasn't. We had previously reported three choices were going to be on the ballot.
Yeah,
As you said, Stallions, Colts, which has also had some gender, non-gender neutral issues, and Thoroughbreds. Which
Thoroughbreds, yeah,
boring. The most boring nickname in high school sports, in my opinion, outside of Wildcats and Cardinals. And then like a riding option or whatever. And then we start hearing what was going on, and I'm like, "What happened?"
Yeah.
I started asking, you know, kids about it, and they were the ones who kind of let me know, like, hey, it came, you know, we heard this morning they weren't going to allow it, and, which, you know, that was the whole reason. Like, I thought it was weird that Stallions was ever going to be on the ballot, because you're doing this to
right appease
in the
that
face of controversy,
yeah,
and now you want to continue stirring that flame or stirring that pot,
yeah.
But so I think I'm fine with Broncos. I had my opinions about what the name should be.
Stampede.
Freedom.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Freedom. Yeah. And Stampede was on the ballot, too.
I love Stampede.
I love Stampede, too, and Freedom. Both of those. Stampede. Who is the Stampede? Nobody's ever the Stampede. Freedom.
Yeah, right.
That team up in Florence, that baseball team, aren't they?
Yeah, the Florence Freedom.
Yeah, Florence Freedom. But Freedom, you could do so much with that as a high school team.
Let freedom reign.
Plus the flags. I mean, it's
everything.
Yeah. But Stampede would have been really cool, too.
You become United States High School, first off.
America's High School.
I just think, too, and with the name, you know, Frederick Douglass, it just makes all the sense in the world. And then all the, you know, you don't want to do things in reaction to current events, but I feel like it would be a powerful, you know, would have been a powerful choice for a lot of reasons in that respect. But, you know, Broncos is cool. They're the first ones in the city. It gives them what they wanted, I think, with Stallions, which was something that sounds strong, something that can, you know, you just evoke power. So it works in that regard. Now, when I hear Broncos, I think of rodeos and Western.
I think of Denver.
And not horse farms.
I think of the Denver Broncos. That's the first thing I think of, Denver Broncos. But, yeah, at least it wasn't geldings. That would have been a poor choice. A lot of plays on that word as well you could go with. Josh, one more thing before we let you go. You got to see Lexington Catholic last week. The Roy Kidd Bowl is in Madison Southern last week. You get to see... there is a good couple of matchups at the Roy Kidd Bowl. Collins is taking on Madison Southern, and then you've got Lexcath and Madison Central.
Yeah, man. Collins is a team that, you know, a lot of people, I don't know how many people have seen Collins in the around here.
Yeah.
I can't say that I have, but that's a program that's quietly, you know, it's sort of where Frederick Douglass was. They opened recently. They're still a fairly new school, and they won a state title.
Yeah,
like they're a team that now they did it in class 4A. It's not like it's the big boys. They're not going up against Trinity and stuff. But you know, to go in and win a state title, I think it was their third year or fourth year of the program or something.
Yeah,
that's pretty impressive. So that's a team that is somebody to watch most years in 4A, usually in the top 10. Madison Southern's got some two guys that might be two of the best players in the region, Trey Livingood and Carter Smith.
Livingood, the Marshall commit.
Yeah, right. I mean, they've got some talent down there. And that's, again, another program that kind of came onto this in the spotlight when Damian Harris was there and has actually had more success.
Yeah,
since
post-Damian Harris.
Graduated.
Yeah. Yeah, John Clark's done a great job consistently keeping that going.
And then, you know, the main event, Central, you know, versus Catholic, I think I would go with Catholic, but I can't say I've seen Madison Central. I don't know, you know, a whole lot about what they have this year.
Yeah.
To be fair, but those games have been pretty good the last couple of years. They've kind of gotten to a series here. It's sort of worked out to where they've played one another a lot in the recent years. And they've, you know, each had wins. So.
Yeah. And if you want to see, the quarterback who has an offer from UK, Bo Allen, for Lexington Catholic, that game's at 8 o'clock tonight, and it's at Madison Central, Roy Kidd Bowl, or is it at the stadium? Is it at EKU?
It's at Madison Central.
Oh, it's at
it used to be at EKU, but no, they don't do that anymore.
No, all right.
I can't imagine why you'd want to promote that. Surely people, do they care about UK? What? Where are we? No, Bo's a good kid. He's a he's a sophomore, but he speaks like a college freshman. Very well spoken.
Yeah.
Seems like he's going to be a fun player to watch these next 3 years.
Well, let me ask, Angelo, should we, we ran through a break, right? So should we just run this up to the top of the hour?
No, we take this.
We take this break.
Yeah, right. We should stop.
We got to pay some bills. All right, Josh.
I can do some reading.
Hey, we'll have fun down there in Danville tonight, Titletown, and we'll be looking at Twitter, at HL Preps, and checking the updates from you. Thanks for joining us this morning.
Awesome. Thank you, guys. Have fun.
All right. Josh Moore from the Lexington Herald Leader at Kentucky.com. Back with more. Oh, my gosh. I just realized this. We're going to talk to Frank Parks in like 5 minutes here. On the Dan and Mary Joe Show, Alex Risen from ABC 36 filling in on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
The Dan and Mary Joe Show continues after this on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Oh no! I broke my iPhone.
Experimat can fix it.
But how much will that cost? I'll probably have to rob a bank, hit the lottery, or hope a long-lost relative leaves me a huge sum of money.
Not at Experimat.
Experimat? What's that?
Experimat is your place for pre-owned Apple products and repair.
Repair?
Yep. iPhones, iPads, iMacs, MacBook, and Macs. You break it, Experimat repairs it. Experimat, 2380 Norman Lane, Suite 130, right next to Salsarita, or call 859-368-9265. Experimat. Computers, tablets, phones, buy, sell, trade, or repair.
Hey, America. We need to have a little talk. We've got more food in our country than we know what to do with. Food at the grocery store and food in the vending machines, fast food, health food, and seafood. We've got so much food that anything people don't buy, we just throw out. Yet 17 million kids in America struggle with hunger. That ain't right. Luckily, the Feeding America nationwide network of food banks has volunteers gathering excess food and getting it to hungry kids. They're kind of like food angels. Yeah, I made that up. It's kind of catchy. Hello, people. This isn't rocket science. We could solve hunger today. To start, become a food angel yourself by supporting Feeding America and your local food bank at feedingamerica.org. That's a website. Duh. We can't do it without your help. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
There are three very different chicken sandwiches that took Schlotsky's and the casual dining scene by storm. Their rise was meteoric, leaving everything else in their breadcrumbs.
No one knew how tasty those three sandwiches really were, man. Like, no one ever saw those flavors together before.
Schlotsky's Hip Chick Trio, and the story of how the chicken cordon bleu, fiesta chicken, and chicken bacon smoked cheesy pecked their way to the top of the food charts. This is VH Buns Under the Sandwich.
I adopted Bento in 2010 from a shelter.
A lot of people know him as Keyboard Cat.
That's just one adoption story that started at a shelter. Visit theshelterpetproject.org to find a pet near you. Brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
The Dan and Mary Jo Show, local and live. Call 381-1313 to be a part of the show, or tweet them at DReefer or at MJP18. Now back to Dan and Mary Jo on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
There were a few surprises last night in high school football's opening night across the Commonwealth. I thought Covington Catholic stomping on Ryle was a bit of a surprise, considering Ryle was one of the teams that was in the top 10 of the coaches' poll. That was 49-17. Louisville Central beating DuPont Manual 7-0. That was a bit of a surprise as well. I think South Warren taking it to Hoptown as badly as they did, 35-14, was surprising. I also thought 28-0 Lafayette over Bryan Station was a surprise. We'll talk to the Defenders head coach, Frank Parks, next on the Dan and Mary Jo Show on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Under new local ownership, Lina's Irish Bar and Grill is the home of soccer in Lexington. We are open from 7 a.m. on Saturdays and Sundays for live EPL coverage. Serving fresh, delicious food with over 20 craft beers on tap, we have the best atmosphere in town. We also have live music on Wednesdays, Fridays and Saturday nights. We are located at 384 Woodland Avenue, so drop in, have a beer and cheer on your favourite team. Lina's, the home of soccer in Lexington.
There are three very different chicken sandwiches that took Schlotsky's and the casual dining scene by storm. Their rise was meteoric, leaving everything else in their breadcrumbs.
No one knew how tasty those three sandwiches really were, man. Like, no one ever saw those flavors together before.
Schlotsky's Hip Chick Trio, and the story of how the chicken cordon bleu, fiesta chicken, and chicken bacon smoked cheesy pecked their way to the top of the food charts. This is VH Buns Under the Sandwich.
ESPN Radio Sports.
I'm Christine Lisi. A trio of pitchers have a chance today to join Dodgers ace Clayton Kershaw for the Major League lead in wins with 15. That would be the Red Sox Chris Sale, Royals Jason Vargas, and Diamondbacks Zach Greinke. Sale takes the mound against CeCe Sabathia and the Yankees. Sabathia returning from a knee injury. Vargas starts against the AL Central leading Indians. Greinke gets the call against Minnesota. He's allowed 18 earned runs while going 6-1 over his last 9 starts. Arizona, a game back of Colorado for the first NL wild card. Outfielder Curtis Granderson leaving a team near the bottom of the National League for the Dodgers, who own the best record in all of baseball. Granderson, acquired by Los Angeles from the Mets for a player to be named later, is excited to be going to a contender.
A lot of guys that have played against some great guys, Adrian Gonzalez coming back here, getting a chance to talk to Jock Peterson a lot when, you know, we cross paths on the field, and, you know, just guys in that have done an amazing thing for their organization. Bellinger, you know, playing absolutely amazing in his rookie season and doing the things that he's been able to do. And just an organization playing well, a city that's a big sports town.
The newest Dodger, Curtis Granderson. Nationals ace Max Scherzer on the DL for the first time in his career with a neck issue. Scratched from last night's start. He was scratched from the start earlier this month with a sore neck. Scherzer believes that he'll be ready to start again by next Friday. The Red Sox expect to know more in a few days about pitcher Drew Pomeranz, who left the 9-6 win over the Yankees due to back spasms. At this point, neither Pomeranz nor manager John Farrell expects to miss a start. Eric Jones on the pole for tonight's Monster Energy Cup race.
The NFL and the Players Association are in a battle, and there's already talk about a work stoppage in 4 years. How big of a problem is this? Mike and Mike will be talking about it Monday morning, starting at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio and ESPN2.
Welcome to the Dan and Mary Jo Show on ESPN Sports Radio 1300. Be a part of the show by calling 381-1313 or tweet your comments to at DReefer or at MJP18. Now, here are Dan Reefer and Mary Jo Perino.
Mary Jo is out this weekend. Filling in is ABC 36's Alex Risen. Thank you, Alex.
Welcome. Stuck with me.
And what it means is when Alex is here, the conversation turns to high school sports and just barely comes off the topic during the 2 hours that we're together, which is just fine by me.
And me.
And we just finished with Kentucky.com, Lexington Herald Leaders, Josh Moore, who covers high school sports,
And now we're joined by the Bryan Station Defenders head man, Frank Parks, on the Dan and Mary Joe Show here on ESPN Sports Radio 1300. Good morning, Coach Parks.
Good morning.
How you doing this morning?
I'm doing all right.
Well, I'm glad you're still up to join us, because last night had to be a tough one for you guys. Tell me what you saw from your team. Lafayette defeated Bryan Station last night 28-0. Tell me what you saw from your guys from the game.
Well, you know, the score was an indication how well the defense played for us, giving up those 28 points. They created a lot of turnovers, and I thought they played well enough to win. Offensively, we made too many mistakes. You know, had a couple of scoring opportunities and didn't take advantage of it. So, offensively, you know, we kind of didn't play up to par good enough to beat a good Lafayette team.
Now, was Lafayette's defense, do they deserve a lot of credit? Because, gosh, you guys played so well in a scrimmage a week ago against Lexington Catholic. And Josh Moore came on here, and he was pretty impressed with it. Did you think Lafayette's defense deserves some credit of how they played?
Oh, yes. Well, anytime, you know, you make mistakes offensively, you got to give some credit to the defense. And I think more of their credit because they played aggressive. They came downhill and just brought the fight to us offensively. A lot of it, too, though, were, you know, at times, we weren't in the right spots we needed to be in passing routes, missed a block here and there, or didn't execute at a high level. But like I said, you got to give Lafayette defense credit because they played aggressive. They brought the fight to the offense, and we didn't respond very well.
Obviously, it's, you know, just out of the gate in week zero, as it's known officially, in week one. It's got to feel somewhat comforting, though. I mean, it's stuff that you feel like you can clean up, obviously, and it's not, you know, some sort of, oh, no, there's a total systems failure, and that's what happened. It's stuff that, hey, look, we had opportunities, and we can go capitalize on those moving forward.
Absolutely. You know, it's the first game. You know, we'll go back, watch film, get a whole lot of things corrected. And, you know, dealing with high school kids sometimes, you know, after they play so well offensively last week, you know, they was thinking that it was going to be as easy or that it's going to click as well as they did last week, and it didn't happen. It's a different intensity when they scrimmage in a actual game. You know, defense during the scrimmage probably didn't play as well as we'd like them to, but last night they played well enough for us to win, and offense didn't do their part.
You've got one talented kid. Well, not one, but Kendrick Curry looks to be something special. He showed up again last night, and then we saw, you know, Josh Moore tweeted out a shot of him tiptoeing up the sidelines in that scrimmage last week. But he looks to be the real deal.
Yes, he is. And it's still a learning process for him, too. You know, last year as a sophomore, he was in that lineup due to injury. So, you know, this is his first full go. So, you know, he's continued to learn and continue to get better. So once he's all said and done, he will be one of the better athletes to come through.
You've had
since I've been there.
You've been blessed with good quarterbacks since you've been there. Aura Bo Johnson, followed by Andre Davis. Bo went to KSU. Andre's at Murray State. Is that right?
Correct.
Yeah. And now you've got Cornell Burbage's boy, Jalen. And he is a young pup, but he looks pretty good so far.
Yes, he has. Like I said, last year we threw him to the Wolves, coming into sophomore. You know, at speed of the game was totally different. He looks a lot more comfortable back there. He's got a better understanding of what we're trying to do offensively. He's able to read coverage and things better and get others in the right position. So he's feeling right in that line of those quarterbacks before him, and he's going to leave his mark up there as well.
Defensively saying, you know, hey, we played well enough to win. I mean, it was 7-0 for the longest time. And it, how much of that in the game, you know, are you trying to keep the kids maybe focused on, hey, maybe sometimes it doesn't feel like necessarily because you haven't gotten points on the board that you're in it. And I know kids, you know, the defense is playing great, but offensively they're just kind of feeling sluggish. do you, you know, do you hammer into them, hey, look, this is a one possession game, guys, and let's keep taking the shots and keep doing it. It seems like at times, you know, they can kind of get down on themselves, and it's kind of the, you got to pull them back out of it a little bit to keep them on track.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, even at halftime, I told them they're doing a great job keeping us in the game. I told them sometimes, you know, one side of the ball or the other side's not doing too well, and, you know, it's up to the other side to carry the side. And last night was the defense, you know, and we just kept continuing to tell them to keep playing, keep fighting, because that's what we preach all during the year is, you know, keep at even keel. Don't get too high, don't get too low. Just keep playing like it's 0-0. And, you know, for the most part, they did. They got a little wore down, you know, been on the field so much, and that's not helping them get a rest by moving the ball and staying in drive. So they kind of got wore down a little bit. But, you know, they fought pretty well defensively.
Talking to Bryant Station head coach Frank Parks on the Dan and Mary Joe Show on ESPN Sports Radio 1300. So you figure if you open with Lafayette, the first team in Fayette County Public School history to go to back-to-back state championship games, so you figure the schedule, you know, lets up after that a little bit. Oh, my gosh, Frank. What's wrong with you, man? Simon Kenton next week. Then Belfry comes here. Then Tates Creek. We know what they're capable of. Then Scott County, which has been dominant around this region. Then Douglas High School, which is talented, and then mail. I mean, that's just now we're in October.
Yeah, it's a very tough schedule, and you know, it's really a product of what we've done as a staff and the kids as they came through. You know, it's become a tough to schedule games. You know, you go out on the list serve, and you know, you try to schedule games for certain weeks, and you know, the scheduling up the way it is because it's pretty much only teams that we could get on the schedule, you know. You know, when I first started, it was a little bit easier getting, you know, some games that wasn't the top five teams in each class. But, you know, right now, we have to play those teams.
Yeah.
And I'm sure it's twofold. You know, on one end, great, because, you know we've talked before, you know, it's kind of the preseason, then there's regular season, then there's the postseason. And so it's almost like kind of three times a year. How important is it to, hey, great, it prepares us for the postseason, but now, because of the district, you know, there's an odd man out. So, all of a sudden, the wins and losses really come into play because you don't just get to go to the playoffs. You know, is the strength of schedule, hey, if we can get something going and make sure we're ready for district play, that's great. But also, you're trying to limit, you know, injuries and stay healthy, you know, playing these top-tier teams. Is there kind of a fine line and a balance knowing we have to be healthy enough to go into district play and at least win enough games to be in the top four?
Absolutely. That health issue is key. That's why you really don't want to schedule so many of those teams like that. And we don't have a lot of depth. You know, we never really have since I've been there. But those are the things that you're concerned with as a head coach is, you know, can we stay healthy? How do I, you know, late practice where we get enough physicality, but we ain't banging each other deaf where, you know, it's going to predispose them to more injuries. So, you know, it's that fine line to keep them healthy, but getting the actual work we need to compete with these teams, because these are high-level teams that we have to compete in day in and day out, and there's no really break in the schedule. You know, all of them are tough, top teams, so it's going to be a task, but, you know, it is what it is, and we'll go out there prepared each night to compete at a high level.
And, well, good luck with that schedule. Good luck the rest of the way. Things will definitely get better, obviously, after the opening night, and I'm sure your kids probably realize what they need to do to make sure it gets better and play a little bit better, take advantage of opportunities down the road here. Simon Kenton, next Friday, there at your place, Bryant Station High School, 7:30. Thanks again, Coach Parks.
Thanks for having me.
All right. Yeah, Bryant Station, that schedule. You know, you look at Simon Kenton, tough. But then, you know, a game that I am really interested to see is Belfry. Belfry coming here. Now, you know about
Belfry. They lose a lot.
Yeah.
What, was five D1 linemen, was it not?
Was it five? I thought it was three, but it could be five. I can think of three. I don't know.
That's played scholarship. I thought a couple other dudes maybe walked on somewhere.
One's at Louisville, one's at UK, one's at Marshall.
Marshall.
right?
Yeah.
That's three.
Then I thought maybe they had from somebody go to FCS level or something. Technically still D1.
It doesn't matter. Belfry's every single dudes, year. Yeah. Every.
But there's going to be some big boys up front.
Not, obviously it does. I mean, they it does matter that you have...
At least the incredible talent to great talent. That's how it drops.
Just experience.
Yeah.
Experience. But they were off Belfry last night. They didn't... They're taking week zero off. They kick off the season next week
against Pike County Bowl.
Huntington. Yeah, the Pike County Bowl against Huntington, West Virginia. And then come here to play Bryan Station. And Belfry, 3A champs last year. Philip Haywood, all-time winningest coach in state history. But Belfry is a line it up, punch you in the mouth, run it down your throat, 3 yards in a cloud of dust, and they keep hitting you and hitting you, and eventually the wall cracks and they break one on you. And their defense is so stout, it could be similar to what Bryan Station saw last night, where it's a 7-0 game forever and forever. You miss an opportunity, next thing you know, Belfry's put together a 9-minute drive, and it's halftime, and it's 14-0, and you've had the ball twice. You know? Yeah. It's that kind of thing. But that's one of those tests that'll be fun to watch, I think, in, yeah, September 1st, Labor Day weekend. What a way to kick off Labor Day weekend, see Bryan Station and Belfry go at it. Be pretty good. We got to take a break. Back with more here on the Dan and Mary Jo Show. ABC 36's Alex Risen sitting in for Mary Jo. You can give us a call, 381-1313. Back with more on ESPN Sports Radio, 1300.
The Dan and Mary Jo Show continues after this on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Oye, amigo, it is the Dan Levatar Show on ESPN Radio.
We will discuss whether backpacking through Europe alone is a white person thing. Well, we were just discussing during the break, they were playing that promo for Ryan Russillo returns from Europe, and Roy just spit at us. That's a white person thing. What am I going to do, pack a couple of pair of underwear and travel across Europe by myself? No.
Dan Lebatard, weekdays 10 to 1 on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
The Lexington Legends are playing tonight at 6:35. Fun for just about any age. Get your tickets now at the Whitaker Bank Ballpark box office by phone at 859-422-RUNS or online at lexingtonlegends.com.
I live alone and rarely have visitors. So when I slipped and fell in the kitchen last month and couldn't get to a phone, I knew I was in trouble.
Help!
I could barely move.
Help!
I tried calling for help, but no one could hear me. As I lay there, I couldn't help but think of my kids and grandkids having to go on without me. I was terrified. It took 8 hours for my neighbor to find me. It could have been the end of me. That's when I knew I needed Life Alert. With just one press of this button, I'm connected to the Life Alert Center, where I can get the help I need, even when I cannot reach a phone. With Life Alert, I'm never alone.
For a free Life Alert brochure, call 800-981-1229. That's 800-981-1229. Call now at 800-981-1229 to get a free brochure. 800-981-1229.
Earnings vary based on your effort.
Do you want to learn how to make money flipping houses right here in Lexington? If so, we have an amazing opportunity for you. We're looking for a small group of motivated individuals to join our real estate investing team. You'll learn our simple three-step system for flipping homes right here in the local area. This is Than Merrill, star of A&E's hit TV show Flip This House. My team and I are looking for a handful of people in the Lexington area who want to learn how to make money flipping houses in your spare time using other people's money. Lexington is a perfect market for my system, and next week I'm holding a free 2-hour educational workshop where you will learn how to make money flipping homes and how to build long-term wealth with income properties.
To get 2 free tickets to Than's workshop, call 1-800-969-3800. Seating is extremely limited. Call in the next 10 minutes and you'll also reserve a free copy of Than's Money for Deals guide. That's 1-800-969-3800. That's 1-800-969-3800.
The Dan and Mary Jo Show, local and live. Call 381-1313 to be a part of the show or tweet them at DReefer or at MJP18. Now back to Dan and Mary Jo on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Now, ever since I saw The Big Lebowski, I cannot listen to an Eagles song and not have that scene in my head of Jeff Bridges sitting in the back of the taxi cab and just saying, hey, can you put it on something else, man? I've had a tough day. I was like, you don't like it? Get out. Like, I just hate the Eagles, man. Dude just pulls the cab over, kicks him out. Get out. Get out. I remember seeing the Eagles at Riverbend, and this is back when the Eagles first reunited and did their first tour and said they were going to charge people $70 for a ticket. And it was like, oh my gosh, that's crazy. Nobody's going to pay that. Oh, the Eagles are charging $100 for a ticket, $75. Nobody's going to pay. That's ridiculous. I wouldn't do that. Who would pay for that to see the Eagles? I mean, that was a thing. That was really, at that time, the thought. They got that money and set a precedent that has done nothing but perpetuate ever since. I mean, 70 bucks? Heck, it cost 70 bucks to go see UK play at Georgia this year for a ticket.
And probably not a great ticket.
Yeah.
That's just your average run-of-the-mill upper deck probably at Georgia, isn't it?
Well, it's in the UK section.
Well, right. Naturally.
You wanted to go to the visit. Obviously, I've checked this out.
I just
happened to look the other day and say, what about going to Athens to see UK wrap up the East Division title? Maybe I should make that trip. We got Dennis on the line. Good morning, Dennis. How you doing?
Good morning, Dude Reefer. How are you?
Hey, the dude abides. The dude abides.
I was ringing Arquan, Kentucky 24/7 Sports, about Lynn Bowden.
Yeah.
And you realize he has a mentor that a lot of people don't realize who that is.
No, I don't know.
Maurice Clarett.
Oh, that's his mentor. I didn't realize that.
There was an article about how he has a stake in this kid's career. I guess because he went to the same high school Clarett did. And if you ever watched the Youngstown Boys, you'll see what kind of high school that was.
You know, I saw that come across the other day, and I'm like, I didn't get to watch this, and I tried to find it on demand, and I couldn't get it. I have been wanting to see that.
Well, it definitely is well worth watching, because this is a typical but really eye-opening story about how your career could go sour really fast.
Yeah.
And also not realizing this, when Vince Morrow was coaching in the semi-pro league, that's how him and Maurice Clarett they knew each other. So really, there is a serious Youngstown connection at UK football.
Yeah. Well, not only with, you know, a few of the players that Stoops has brought in, but Stoops' whole family is Youngstown, plus Marrow, now Bowden. Yeah. And Clarett, you got to commend him
for
the way he's kind of turned his life around and the way he's showing it through his actions of speaking to kids. Because, my gosh, do you remember when that story came out? It was so shocking. You were like, what? Maurice Clarett and a bunch of guns? What?
It was it's a good story. It's on Kentucky 24/7 Sports. I actually saw it on Bleacher Report and on my Kentucky app there, and it's like it's really well worth reading.
Well, you know what? Lynn Bowden, we were just here last week, you and me, Alex, sitting right here talking about Lynn Bowden, and my prediction was they're probably not going to say much about Lynn Bowden today. He probably doesn't do much, or the coaches don't tell us much in the scrimmage. That was the thought. And then, you know, because he got here late and he wasn't here this summer, you know, he probably doesn't make a big impact at receiver this season. You know, probably do it in the kicking game. And then, you know what? Because he's a freshman, the media is not allowed to talk to him until he plays in a game. So then everybody's asking every other player on the team about Lynn Bowden. So they're probably going to get tired of that and not care for him much. I was wrong on all of those points. They came out yesterday and said, oh, you know who showed up in the scrimmage? Lynn Bowden. Mark Stoops comes out and says, you know, and the teammates really like him. Lynn Bowden.
Yeah, he's going to make an impact at receiver this year and in the kicking game, and he's popular with the teammates. So that's not an excuse to turn the channel. I'm just telling you I was wrong.
I see another Randall Cobb here in the making.
Yeah.
As far as being used in the Wildcat, kicks, punts, receiving.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's going to be an interesting how many years he's here, but I just think the article was great, and Youngstown Boys is definitely well worth watching. And as always, Mr. Reeves was here. You guys always make the weekends a whole lot more bearable, especially if we lose. You guys are our free therapist. So,
well, thank you. Thanks for listening, Dennis.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, I mean, even the staff, when he first got here, was he's swimming.
Yeah.
He's swimming right now.
Right.
Well, when you say he's swimming, incredibly athletic. So that's do you tone it down and parcel down exactly what you're giving him?
Mm-hmm.
You know, in order to get him to contribute, we're only giving him X instead of X, Y, and Z.
Yeah.
We're not even throwing the book at you. You're here late. We think you can help us win games.
Yeah.
You're clearly not getting the whole package. Let's just trim it down.
Yeah.
Because I haven't heard him say that, but that has to be part of it, right? I mean, you can't go from swimming and just what's going on. I know none of this stuff. And then all of a sudden, you're a standout.
Yeah.
Unless it's just go do what you do, Lynn. I mean, you know, we'll worry about the other crap later, man.
Well, that's the other thing about it. That's the other thing about it is you can be trying to run the right route, do the right thing, whatever, and maybe you don't do it right. But when football time, when the ball is snapped and it's time to play football and there's a play to be made, you make it because you're just a football player. You know, that kind, where everything goes out of the window that way. And there have been plenty of athletes who have gotten very far on straight athleticism, on just by playing, instincts, that kind of thing. I think Lynn Bowden has already shown in his brief time here that he's one of those just a football player type guys. You put him back there to catch a punt, you don't have to worry about him fumbling it. He's going to catch it. He's going to do something with it when he does.
Right.
When he runs a route and it's not the right route in a game, those could be critical. That can mess something up. But then at the same time, if he's open and you see him, you throw him the ball, he's going to make a football play.
And
you
know, if he's not open.
Yeah.
Maybe he makes that crazy catch. Just off the athleticism, but yeah, he doesn't. It's weird that you can't go from swimming and being late. And I know that, you know, there's a ton of hype, but I mean, the staff was really kind of hammered down, like, yeah, right. You know, it's special teams.
Well, that's
what got me on the same page with you.
Right. And then that's what switched my mind last week is they ask about a scrimmage. The media asks about a scrimmage that they don't see. We don't get to see it. So the coaches hold all the information. It's up to them to divulge and let us in. So if they want to withhold on Lynn Bowden, because there's been so much hype, they've heard 3 weeks questions about Lynn Bowden. Is he here? When's he getting here? How good will he be when he gets here? How much will him not being here keep him from contributing? Now that he's here, how much can he contribute? How's he looked in practice? All that stuff. They've been hearing it. They know everybody thinks Lynn Bowden is going to be out of this world. So when you asked him in the first scrimmage, how was Lynn Bowden?
You're probably expecting to hear the same thing you've been getting. Hey, he's still, you know, getting his feet wet. You know, it's his first scrimmage.
I don't even think they asked how Lynn Bowden was. I think he was asked who showed up today. Who stood out?
You pick Lynn Bowden.
Lynn Bowden. So he wasn't even specifically asked about Lynn Bowden. So that told me, if you're willing to let the hype roll, and not withhold, and not try to tamper it down. In the first scrimmage, that tells me Lynn Bowden is going to do things this season for this team at receiver. Because they talked about, Drew Barker said that he had caught 2 big third down catches, I believe, to help them convert. Yeah. Randall Cobb type. I know. The hype is too big. It's too big. How do you live up to Randall Cobb? But he seems like that kind of football player. That he's just a football. He's just a special guy. The it factor. Whatever it I remember Joker used to say that. Whatever it is, he's got it.
Yeah.
I can't describe it.
That's a good one. Whatever it is, he's got it.
Yeah. Randall Cobb had it. We think Lynn Bowden's got it. So today, in about 3 hours or so, Yeah, be looking at Twitter for the information coming out of the second scrimmage of fall camp. They seem like, it seems from everything, that it's been pretty even, both sides of the ball, thus far. That the offense has made some plays, and the defense has made some plays, and it's been playmaking stuff instead of shooting yourself in the foot stuff. However, Eddie Grant did say we shot ourselves in the foot a little bit last week, and he said, we're too mature to do that. We can't do that. That is Kentucky football. Kentucky football is
shooting yourself
in the foot.
No matter how experienced you are.
Not getting, just getting in your own way. That starts to change. If that can start to change, we saw it change last year. Mississippi State. That game should have been lost. Miraculous, but it was them shooting themselves in the foot that made it what it was.
Yes.
It should have been, Kentucky should have won by two touchdowns.
And this just kind of the Georgia game, too. I mean, State, you know, get here. Hey, let's sell it out. This is the one. We control our destiny.
Uh-huh.
And then you just keep doing little things, you know, throughout the game. And then the game-winning drive, you know, it's just the classic allowing a team to just steal it from you.
Yeah.
When you have it in the grasp.
Let's talk a little bit more about this season on the other side of this break. Because coming up, there are some huge opportunities for Kentucky. Give us a call, 381-1313. You can listen online at WLXG.com. Of course, it's 1300 on the dial. And then you've got the app, the WLXG app. You just type in WLXG on the Google Play or iTunes Store. And there you go. You can stream it. Is there another way to listen? Let's see. What's that thing called? TuneIn?
The TuneIn app.
Yeah, the TuneIn app.
You can also do the TuneIn app if you don't do the LXG.
But look, if you're going to take the time to go and get the TuneIn app.
Just get the LXG app.
Just get the WLXG app because it's much easier.
You don't have to search for
it. Right. It's much easier just to hit that and then it starts. But we're taking your calls. ABC 36 is Alex Rising sitting in for Mary Jo here on the Dan and Mary Jo Show on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
The Dan and Mary Jo Show continues after this on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Ride rough, ride tough. MLS Power Sports got the ride you're looking for.
The Arctic Cat factory authorized clearance event is going on now at MLS Power Sports, and it's bigger than ever with rebates up to $3,500 and financing as low as 3.9% on brand new Arctic Cat ATVs and side-by-sides. You can stop thinking and start riding. Don't miss out on your next ride and hurry into MLS Power Sports, 1030 Paris Pike in Georgetown. Offer valid for participating dealers while supplies last and subject to change. Inventory may vary by dealer. Not all applicants will qualify. See dealer for details and program dates. Always wear a helmet and don't drink and ride.
Victoriously, ride rough, ride tough. MLS Power Sports got the ride you're looking for.
But most of all, ride victoriously.
Yeah, ride victoriously.
This is a Morgan & Morgan consumer message.
Many times, we represent those hurt on the job, fighting for disability benefits, or injured due to no fault of their own. Car crashes, physical attacks at a place of business, and medical mistakes. And I want to tell you something very important. Of course, the loss of income is devastating. Most families live paycheck to paycheck. But I find in our clients suffering something more important than the loss of money or a paycheck. It's the loss of one's honor, respect, and dignity. Providing for our families is what we do. It's our job, our purpose. For me and our lawyers, trying to restore that purpose and pride is our job number one. We're here to help you and your family at your hour of need. Dignity, honor, respect. In the end, it's all we have. Morgan & Morgan, ForThePeople.com. Offices Lexington.
Kentucky's premier open water swimming event, the Murky Mile, hosted by Panel Swim Shop, is Saturday, August 26th at Cave Run Lake. This family-friendly day includes a half-mile swim, 1-mile Murky Mile swim, and a 2.4-mile Ironman swim.
awards, prizes, and catered lunch provided. And everyone walks away with some great swim gear. Individuals and teams can register at www.panelswimshop.com or visit Panel Swim Shop, 148 West Timberton Way. Let the experts at Panel Swim Shop prepare you for the 5th anniversary of the Murky Mile, Saturday, August 26th at Cave Run Lake.
The Dan and Mary Jo Show, local and live. Call 381-1313 to be a part of the show or tweet them at DReefer or at MJP18. Now back to Dan and Mary Jo on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Is that some Alabama Shakes? Is that what that is? Yeah. There you go, Angelo. Like that right there. Well, Kentucky's comeuppance. You know, here, the rise of Kentucky football here under Mark Stoops. There have been some golden opportunities. 2 years ago, coming off the win at South Carolina, UK's first road win in the SEC in 3 years or something. You know, it had been a while, 30 games, something like that. You break through. You start, it's a party, it's a party, it's a party. Florida comes to town. The place is electric. I mean, it is a great SEC atmosphere. Loud, night game, everybody's into it. Kentucky loses that game, I believe it was 14-9, 13-9.
Yeah.
Something like that. Had their chances. There was a drop touchdown in that game. I believe it might have been Dorian Baker.
It was Baker.
Yeah. That's your chance to end a streak. There's, what, 30 years now, feels like?
31, yeah.
Well.
86, right?
Yeah. So, there's that. All right, so the next year, you beat South Carolina again. Wait a minute.
The old ball coach retired after losing.
That's right. That's right.
To Kentucky. Mm-hmm. Was it the week after, or was it the... Did he go one more game? I can't remember. I think it was the week after losing to Kentucky.
Yeah.
For the second straight time, correct? Because he wasn't there last year.
Last 2 years. It's been 2 years.
Yeah.
That's right. Because they had the offensive line coach, the head coach.
And then Muschamp.
And then Muschamp came in. Yeah. And this is Muschamp's second year. Okay. Now let me straighten that out. But then last year, Georgia was that golden opportunity. Look, Kentucky wound up finishing second, tied for second in the East. Georgia was the chance to take over right there. The way things set up this year, you open at South Carolina. It's a night game, and South Carolina is doing a blackout. They've already announced it. They're going to do a blackout.
No more losing to Kentucky.
Saturday night, SEC Network, 7:30 game. Yeah. Our 3-year losing streak to Kentucky ends tonight. Oh, don't you hate that sound? Ugh. That thing and Sandstorm combined, it just grinds your ears. That if you lose there, that very next week, Florida comes to town. I feel like if you do lose at South Carolina, and it's a competitive game, if it's close, I like your chances against Florida the very next week.
And maybe still a little chip on the shoulder, right? You know, because people, you're assuming they win at Southern Miss and EKU at home, right? So just record-wise, you're 2-1 if you did lose at South Carolina. And so people may, hey, we're competitive, but already they're written off.
Yeah,
in terms of people who cover the SEC or nationally, it's you're written off. Kentucky's done out of the gate. And I think that'll fuel them against Florida.
And then I remember one of Joker Phillips' best wins came against South Carolina, Steve Spurrier, at Commonwealth Stadium, and it came the week after Cam Newton and Auburn won on a field goal at the buzzer at Commonwealth Stadium. I thought, gosh, they played Auburn so well. And to lose like that, because it was Kentucky's game, and Auburn got the ball back with, I don't know, a minute left.
and Cam Newton falling out of bounds, jumping out of bounds on pure arm strength, throws it, 40 yards in the air, and dude makes a great catch and keeps this drive alive, and they go down and kick a field goal to win it.
Wasn't the game-winning drive like 8 minutes, eight something?
Oh, was it not?
I thought it was like this drawn-out 8 minute something, because you're thinking, hey, they'll get the ball back. And then they didn't. there was no opportunity to respond to the game-winning drive. Mm.
It could have been. I mean, I covered it. I don't know.
It was a while ago. But the only reason I remembered it, because I was looking at Cam Newton. He was one of those dudes that I went, oh.
Yeah.
Oh, that was, yeah.
That was the beginning.
Like, look at that.
Yeah. Yeah. In my mind's eye, I have this vision of him when he's just falling out of bounds and chucking.
He did it all. He won the game.
Yeah. And so, that's a huge letdown. Huge letdown. Just sucks everything out. And Joker, to his credit, got those guys to stay motivated the week following that to come up big and beat South Carolina. And that was the Mike Hartline to Randall Cobb busted coverage touchdown. That was something. Anyway, my prediction is, for what it's worth, is that South Carolina could be a loss.
It's a road game, the blood and everything that comes into it.
And they've lost 3 years. South Carolina's lost 3 years in a row to Kentucky, and it's a pivotal place. If you're not Florida, Tennessee, or Georgia, you are Kentucky, South Carolina, Missouri, Vandy, and you have so to be the king of that second tier in the East, you have to do that first consistently to have a shot at being a Georgia, Tennessee, Florida. And South Carolina knows this, and Kentucky's taken that role over, and so they want it back. So. And they've got a good defense, and they've got a quarterback who's coming up. So that could be one of those games where you think Kentucky's not going to be favored. They're not going to be favored in that game. So I think my point is that when you do have a potential letdown, you have a letdown like that, then it could make you just as hungry the next week. It's because it's so early in the season. That's just week four that Florida would come in. And if you can get that Florida win, then the next week you got Eastern Michigan and then Missouri at home. Now you're rolling. Then you go down to Starkville, and they remember that 51-yard field goal that beat them.
Yes, they did.
In Lexington. And Dan Mullen had a sorry season last year, his worst one since he's been in Starkville, and that ain't happening again. They're going to be up and ready to go. You would think. It depends on what Mississippi State, of course, looks like by that point in the season. We're talking 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
And you're saying Kentucky could be 5-2 if they lose at Miss State.
Yes. So there you go. You're just one win away from bowl eligibility 6 games in.
2-2 in conference play at that point.
I mean, Southern Miss, W, EKU, W, Eastern Michigan, W.
Missouri at home.
W, that's 4. So you've got to beat South Carolina or Florida, and that's 5. Now you go to Mississippi State, one win short of bowl eligibility, but all your cupcakes are gone. Because now you go to Mississippi State, then Tennessee comes, then Ole Miss comes, then you're at Vandy. Don't underestimate at Vandy.
It's always the at. That's the problem, right? Yeah. That's how Kentucky lives. Can you steal the road game from Vandy?
Yeah. I mean, you have to know, as a Kentucky football fan, I know in your mind, you count Vandy as a win every single year.
But it's pretty even in the record books.
Yes, it is even in the record books. And when you go to Vandy, they sneak up and bite you. It happens. Don't underestimate at Vandy. They could beat Florida at home and lose at Vanderbilt. That can happen.
Yes.
In the same season. But I would think that they would lose to Miss State. And I know a lot of people are down on Tennessee. I'm not one of them. I just think Tennessee has so much talent. He has so many recruiting classes stacked on top of good recruiting classes over and over again. Those recruiting classes have been higher consistently than Kentucky's every single year, and Tennessee has shown it on the field every single year playing Kentucky.
I mean, the only time Kentucky has been able to win was with the third string, not even a quarterback, receiver in his senior season at Kentucky, Matt Roark, in an ugly, ugly, horrible game to watch.
That was Tennessee being down.
Yeah, that was Tennessee being down, yes. That was the end of yes,
the era.
You're still talking about 7-8 win Tennessee. Yeah, you have to realize that. Kentucky, you're talking about 7 wins for the first time in 8 years. So when you still have a Tennessee that's winning 7-8 games, that's down maybe for them, but it's not down compared to Kentucky.
So you're the way you're looking at it, to some degree, is, well, and no matter who you're playing on the road, that's never good because it's a road game.
Right.
Right. That's, you traditionally hold that road games for Kentucky, they're always kind of the question mark.
Right.
In SEC play.
Yeah.
So would you rather see the years where Florida, Tennessee, Louisville, you know, are on the road as opposed to having Tennessee and Florida at home? Because Florida, you're giving them the potential win.
Yeah. Because it's early in the season.
And it is at home.
And it's based on that South Carolina game first and seeing how they go. Now, let's go the other way. If Kentucky is lights out performing offensively and runs South Carolina over, which I don't think is going to happen, but let's just say Kentucky wins by double digits.
Then undefeated. Then
I don't feel as good about the Florida game.
Really?
Yeah.
Now, that's interesting.
Because of the...
You think the head would get big? High.
Yeah, just a little too much... And then Florida comes in, and they're better than they've been. And then, see, those kids still have to... Okay, the Dorian Baker game, and then the clock expiring game. Well, that all went out the window last year. It was the embarrass you again game. So, how much does that stick in there? But, yeah, I mean, that's just a... I don't know, the psyche of the team is kind of my prediction, so it kind of hinges on that. But I think they could definitely beat Tennessee at home. But I just don't feel it as much as I do for Florida because it's earlier in the season.
Yeah, mid-season Tennessee better than trying to get one on somebody quick.
So that's Halloween weekend, by the way, Tennessee is.
Ole Miss?
Ole Miss. I just don't see them being anything but a train wreck all year.
So
they're probably 3 or 4 wins all year. So, yeah, they're not – Kentucky's not losing to Ole Miss here. I don't see that. Then that at Vandy game is a tricky deal. That could be win number 7.
Yeah, it was exactly. Right, yeah, it could be 7 if you don't lose to Ole Miss.
Yeah.
And if you get either Florida or South Carolina.
Or Tennessee,
yeah.
All three of those games
just
are
win
kind
one
of
three.
Swing.
Just
right.
One, just
they're kind of swing of games. You need to win one of those. And then you go at Vandy, and you've got to be up. You got to be ready for that. And if you can get that, and I don't know, even if Kentucky's at...
That would be 7-2 if they beat Vanderbilt.
If they're at 6 and, wins going into the Vandy game,
yeah.
And Vandy's got 5 wins, I don't know that Kentucky's favored at Vandy in that game.
Might not be.
Yeah. Still maybe not favored at that point. So, if you beat Vanderbilt, that's 7. So, you're looking at 8 going to Georgia. If you lose to Vanderbilt, you still need 7, and you're going to Georgia, and Louisville's coming to you to end the season. But there is potential there if you've only got 2 losses in the East, that you go to Georgia with a chance at an SEC title, East title.
Yeah, maybe you needed help, but you could be in the mix.
Right.
You probably don't control your own destiny.
Right. Maybe Georgia has 1 loss. Maybe Florida has
also
one
has
loss,
one.
But you have the tiebreaker.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of thing. Yeah, I don't think it's a clear situation. It's going to be muddy, but...
You could be in the hunt.
You could be looking at a game at Georgia that if you win... There's a nice chance of going to the SEC title game.
We've always kind of looked. Hey man, it sets a,
Yeah.
What if you did this?
Well, think about who you have to beat. You have to, like we just said, you have to have one of the three
against South Carolina, Florida, Tennessee. And you can't mess around. Oh, I forgot to Miss State there. See, if you lose at Miss State, that gives you three losses in the possibly.
Right.
Yeah.
Assuming you lose to both Tennessee, Florida, you know, yeah. You lost two of those other three.
Mm-hmm. But, I mean, there's a chance there. There's a chance there that if you've got – I don't – I mean, you don't see them beating Florida and Tennessee, do you?
No, but they could. I think they could do South Carolina in one of the others.
Yes.
Maybe. And maybe it is Florida. Maybe the high is not the bad thing. Maybe it's we told you we're here.
Right.
And we beat Florida and we're undefeated.
Yeah.
And we mean business.
Psyche's such a delicate thing. It's so hard.
You don't know how it plays. Yeah. How does it go? I don't know. I think these guys, if they win at South Carolina in a, you know, not necessarily a last play or but somewhat dramatic fashion, it's a tight game, South Carolina blackout and all that, you know, kind of the,
yeah.
And you said, no. We're here.
Yeah.
And in the no love, and we're sick and tired of it.
Yeah.
It's time for the love. And then we beat Florida because we're riding high and we're telling you we're high.
Yeah.
I can see it swinging that way based on South Carolina.
Yeah.
See, I don't know. I think if you lose at South Carolina, the naysayers really come out of the woodwork. We told you you were average again. Yeah. You're middle of the pack. Don't care what you did last season. You have not arrived. There is no progress at Kentucky, and you're all losers. And I think that some of the – I think the psyche of that team could – well, heck, I don't know. It's a delicate thing. How do they respond, win or lose at South Carolina against Florida?
If you come out of the gate 4-0 with wins at South Carolina and at Florida.
Florida here, yeah.
Yeah, Florida here.
Whew.
You talk about it's a party and the hype. I mean, the train is going to be rolling, baby.
But you will hit Miss State, and that will be a problem. You will have to go steal that. And Tennessee will be a problem.
I love that Georgia game setup.
It could be the one. You're right.
2009. Morgan Newton, the freshman at quarterback. Derek Locke.
Man, he was fast.
Sam Maxwell. And Washaun Ely. Washaun Ely fumbled what would have salted the game away for Georgia inside the 5-yard line. Kentucky came down and won it after that. That's the last time Kentucky has beaten Georgia, period. I don't know. Kentucky seems to be able to play Georgia well, just in the past, has been able to do well. That's right before Thanksgiving, and then Thanksgiving weekend, it's Louisville. And you know, I mean, that's going to be tight.
And then, the Louisville game could be, again, with Georgia, it's what happens, and then are you able to come off of potentially winning the SEC East against Louisville?
Yeah.
I don't think so. I think if you got that Georgia game and the cards did align correctly, and you're in the SEC championship game, or maybe you got the share, but you didn't go to the game, you know, maybe right. Because you didn't win the tiebreaker kind of thing,
mm-hmm.
Then I still think Louisville comes in and steals it, and because you're just too high off of we did the impossible. You know, we went to Georgia and won. We've mm-hmm. beaten a Florida or went to South Carolina. There, you know, things that this program hasn't done in a long time.
So much to be decided between now and Thanksgiving.
It's fun. It's that time of the year.
So Nick Saban, look, we need jobs too, all right? Shut your mouth. We need jobs too. We enjoy talking about sports and thinking about the possibilities and the potential. That's what we do. You coach the teams, get the players that we like to talk about, play the games. Of course, we don't know what's going to happen, but it's fun to talk about, Saban.
Just shut up and win your national championships. Or, you know, maybe you lose to Clemson again. I don't know.
War Eagle, Nick.
Yeah.
All right, back with our final segment on the Dan and Mary Joe Show on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
The Dan and Mary Jo Show continues after this on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Oh no! I broke my iPhone.
Experimat can fix it.
But how much will that cost? I'll probably have to rob a bank, hit the lottery, or hope a long-lost relative leaves me a huge sum of money.
Not at Experimat.
Experimat? What's that?
Experimat is your place for pre-owned Apple products and repair.
Repair?
Yep. iPhones, iPads, iMacs, MacBook, and Macs. You break it, Experimat repairs it. Experimat, 2380 Norman Lane, Suite 130, right next to Salsarita, or call 859-368-9265. Experimat, computers, tablets, phones, buy, sell, trade, or repair.
Earnings vary based on your effort.
Do you want to learn how to make money flipping houses right here in Lexington? If so, we have an amazing opportunity for you. We're looking for a small group of motivated individuals to join our real estate investing team. You'll learn our simple three-step system for flipping homes right here in the local area. This is Than Merrill, star of A&E's hit TV show Flip This House. My team and I are looking for a handful of people in the Lexington area who want to learn how to make money flipping houses in your spare time using other people's money. Lexington is a perfect market for my system, and next week I'm holding a free 2-hour educational workshop where you will learn how to make money flipping homes and how to build long-term wealth with income properties.
To get two free tickets to Than's workshop, call 1-800-969-3800. Seating is extremely limited. Call in the next 10 minutes and you'll also reserve a free copy of Than's Money for Deals guide. That's 1-800-969-3800. That's 1-800-969-3800.
Coming up next on the Rasmus Taz Show in Scatmandu is a little ditty by a hip chick trio from Schlotzkiss, baby. Skit-da-do-da-da-dee-da-da-do-bam, yeah. They hit our taste buds like a transfixing trombone a while back, but they're flapping their feathers for another tour. The Chicken Cordon Bleu, Fiesta Chicken, and Chicken Bacon Smoked Cheesy. Yeah, they're clickety-clocking around the menu at skit-da-do-da-da-dee-da-ba-do-bam, Schlotzkiss. Come on in today and give them a little tasty taste.
Major key alert. Don't ever play yourself. Life is like school. You will be tested. So pass it.
Learn the real major keys to getting to college at GetSchooled.com.
Stay focused. Now that's a major key alert.
Brought to you by GetSchooled and the Ad Council.
The Dan and Mary Jo Show. Local and live. Call 381-1313 to be a part of the show. Or tweet them at DReefer or at MJP18. Now back to Dan and Mary Jo on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
UK football scrimmage, second scrimmage of fall camp coming this afternoon. Always interesting to see what will come out of that. And then tomorrow's show, we'll have John Hale from the Courier-Journal at 9:30 tomorrow morning. To speak to what he heard and wrote about concerning UK's second scrimmage. And then we'll have Lexington Catholics head coach, Mark Perry. Of course, he is his quarterback is Bo Allen, who has a UK offer. And Lexington Catholic plays Madison Central tonight in the Roy Kidd Bowl. They're at Madison Central, 8 o'clock tonight, if you want to get down there and see some high school football action. It was a great opening night. There were not a lot of great games.
No. Franklin County Western Hills, I would argue the best.
Yeah. Somerset Bourbon County. Bourbon County wound up winning that game 36-29.
The comeback in the fourth quarter.
Yeah. That was a back-and-forth game. That was big for Bourbon County to win that game. Otherwise, it was a lot of blowouts. Something I saw last night that caught my attention, and I am sure that he'll probably be on TV a little bit more this week, is Lincoln County's tight end, Sawyer Carrier.
Big dude.
He's a junior. He wears number 88. He might be the biggest dude on the team.
Yeah.
And he plays tight end. I mean, he might be bigger than his coach, Travis Lefeu, who played at Louisville.
And was a lineman.
And an offensive lineman, yeah. And he was, you know, when our camera was there for that game, he was everything.
Yes.
He was catching everything. And doing all of it. So, Sawyer Aircraft Carrier was a surprise for Lincoln County. Lincoln County is, you know, struggling to get back to what they were under Larry French years ago.
Nice to start 1-0.
Uh-huh.
42-6, right, over Clay County?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's beat down.
Yep. Otherwise, you know, Anderson County, GRC, that was 27-14. Anderson County.
And GRC outgained Anderson County by nearly 100 yards.
Yeah, but, like, Anderson County didn't have a first down.
No.
For, like, forever and was leading the game.
three picks, including a touchdown, 116 yards on three picks in a score. Ugh, turnovers.
GRC is going to get there under Oliver Lucas.
He's
done.
It might not be the season, but he'll get the ship right.
All right, thanks for listening today. Tune in tomorrow, 9 a.m. Alex will be back from ABC 36. I'll be here for the Dan and Mary Joe Show on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.